Happy Wednesday, everybody. I promise y'all we're going to get through this week, but welcome to the Wig on Wheels show featuring Hella Retention, and I am your host, Camille E. Gaines, and of course, joining me is the man behind Hella Retention, and that is Merrill Gearhart.
Hello, everyone.
Look at him, Mr. President and co-founder of Hella Retention. This show, of course, is your go-to source for transforming your employee retention. So it's not just for logistics. It is for the trucking industry. And each one of the episodes will bring you expert insights, innovative strategies, and real-world solutions to help you keep your top talent and drive your business forward. So today, of course, we're going to be exploring an important topic, which is the employee retention, like communicating with them and how to communicate with different types of communication pieces, right? So you have people that learn differently, they communicate differently, which entails mean they're going to need to be retained differently. So we're going to explore the differences in that and why that is important when it comes to retaining your employees. Now we have a special guest, my friend, and we work together as well, but Eileen Dabrowski. She is the Director of Corporate Learning and Development. So Eileen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Camille. Thanks, Merrill. Glad to be here.
Yes. So I want to read everything because with Eileen, she is super fantastic and comes with a wealth of it all. So Eileen has a PhD and an ABD from the University of South Florida in curriculum and instruction, and is a leader and member of Warner Enterprises Learning and Development Team. Eileen has been in transportation and logistics since 2016 and oversees the development and facilitation of all logistics and wide training programs, new employee onboarding, leadership development, employee culture, morale, and retention. She superheads company philanthropy initiatives and works hard to maintain improved employee culture, morale, to drive workforce efficiency, employee satisfaction. She serves as the chair of TMSA DEI Task Force, which is the best, as well as the chair of TIA Programs Committee, and is proud member of TIA Foundations Board. Outside work, Eileen lives with her spouse and four dogs in Tampa, enjoys traveling, staying active, four doggies, oh, that's so cute, and volunteers in the community. She runs, box, lifts weights, surfing, reading, and is also into self-care activities. So you are not a girl to be messing with, huh?
No, it wouldn't pick me.
Awesome, welcome.
Camille, with that bio, I'm just going to step out, and I think she can handle the entire show because she's got it covered.
I was like, I got to read all of this. So what else do you do at TMSA? Because I know we work together with DEI, but what else?
So I also sit on the education committee. Obviously, teaching and developing humans is one of the favorite things. It's what I've dedicated my life to. So any way I can give back, I do that. So any of the DEI social media content comes through the phenomenal task force that Camille mentioned. So we're trying to teach people about not only how to kind of be a better human, for lack of a better way of saying it, but also how to incorporate inclusive marketing strategies and inclusive development and teaching and learning strategies. So it's pretty awesome. I'm able to volunteer in that way. And that's how I had the opportunity to connect with Camille, although it feels like I've known her my whole life. So we're going to talk about that later, but kind of getting involved and getting your team involved with industry associations is one of the things that I'm really excited to share more details about. But that helps us retain and develop employees, getting people connected to other people in the industry and that type of involvement challenges them to grow. So I'm pumped.
That's why when we came up with the title of Effective Communication for Strategies for Retention, you were the first expert that came into my head. You were the only expert, let's be honest, that came into my head because you tap into all of that. We always talk about on DEI as far as the different communication and how you have to communicate differently with folk. Mm-hmm. And that dives into retention and how you can retain someone. So before we dive into that, because when I was traveling today and I was talking to Mero, I felt like we was having a whole podcast in regards to you on the way here. So before I dive into that, because I'll be on a whole soapbox, I want to go to our first commercial, and then when we come back, I'll talk a little bit about that and go on. So let's go to our first commercial, Terrell.
At Hello Retention, we excel in building a stronger workforce for your logistics and trucking company. Our retention insight solutions keep your top talent engaged and committed. Through deep analysis and actionable insights, we help you understand and reduce employee loss, ensuring workforce stability. Hello Retention, your partner in workforce excellence. What will your workforce look like in 12 months? Visit HelloRetention.com or call 888-400-1722 to learn more and start transforming your workforce today.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay, so now it's soapbox time, right? And I promise you, I'm gonna get all my sayings right today. Okay, it's hump day, so we're gonna do this right today. Now, I'm gonna give you a little bit of insight on what Meryl and I were talking about that incorporated Eileen. So, Meryl, tell us why it is so important when it comes to communication in the logistics and trucking industry, communication in connection to retention.
Oh, wow. Communication drives everything, really. When you're talking about drivers and dispatch, fleet managers, home time, everything has to be communicated in some shape, form, or fashion. Yes, do we have the tools like the ELDs or messaging back and forth and things like that? But sometimes maybe not all the information is there, or the driver doesn't quite understand what's going on, or is a little confused. So that picking up the phone and calling the appropriate person and having that deeper conversation puts that driver in the understanding of what's expected and what they need to do next. And if you don't have that key communication and that go-to person, then the driver's in limbo. They're kind of feeling lost out there. And yes, tools and technology is always great, but to pick up the phone and actually get the understanding of what the intent was that was being messaged to them on a load delivery, or maybe they're a fuel stop, whatever the case may be, if they need that additional tool to be able to call somebody and get that answer and understand why they're doing what they're doing. And if drivers, and not just drivers, but employees as a whole, understand why they're doing what they're doing, they have a better sense of purpose and understanding of what they need to accomplish and how to get it done.
Absolutely, because technology is meant to enhance the human experience, not take over the human experience. And I think so much we're starting to use it to take over the human experience instead of enhance it. But this is where the Eileen Dabrowski comes in. This is how you know you're important. When somebody say your whole government name. Okay, so when we talk about the communication and retention piece of it, and then throwing in our DEI part, now Meryl's team is in charge of and hired by quite a few logistic and trucking companies, okay? And one that we talk about a lot is MVT, and how this is MVT utilized teleretention as one of their major tools to transform their retention. And they publicly talk about this, right? So with saying that, and Meryl's team actually picks up the phone and then uses the data for technology to enhance it. Now, we have different communication styles. Can you tell me how that benefits different communication styles? And then, two-part question, how can the technology be used to enhance those different communication styles?
So I could not agree with you more on all of that and the soapbox, right? If we're not talking about retention, especially in the market we are in the transportation, trucking, logistics industry, and in the economic kind of global world we're in. I'm not going to use the word recession, but let's not forget that at the end of the day, life is really hard for most of the employees on our teams, regardless of what position they do, whether they're in a truck, whether they're a dispatcher, whether they are a leader. Everybody's feeling kind of the pinch of just the cost to live going up. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of companies kind of focus on more tactically, how do I sell better? How do I sell smarter? And you should do that. But if we don't, as an industry and as leaders, kind of acknowledge what our single greatest asset is, regardless of our company size, our demographics, our geography, mm-hmm. Or revenue, and that it is, that's our employees. If we're not investing and developing our team, and we don't understand the true cost of attrition, then we are doing ourselves a disservice. And if you don't know where to start, I use AI every single day. Now, that doesn't mean I go, AI is going to do my job. I don't have to add the human element. But if I hit a road, if my brain dies for the day, which happens in the industry, right? There's those days where just the trucking industry just stomps you. And that's part of it. And it gets me thinking. It's the catalyst for where do I even start with this project, or how can I enhance KPIs, things like that. So you can't hide from it, but that doesn't mean that it's going to eliminate your jobs. And I think we need to be transparent with our employees about how to use AI. We need to teach them, and we need to be mindful of things like the generational gap. When the demographic makeup, you know, and not just from a diversity lens, but just from a generational, we have 4 to 5 generations in the workforce right now, right? Different types of roles. And think about the difference between some of the boomer gen and then the latest generation of kids that have known tech and automation from the minute they could read or think, you know, kind of on their own. So how do you appeal to humans who kind of run the gamut of comfortability with tech, comfortability with automation, ability to understand? And then when you add the element, one of the reasons I love this industry so much is the diversity present in the trucking industry. But with diversity also comes a very unique challenge in that if we don't take time to educate our team, ourselves, ask and create an open platform for communication for people to be able to be comfortable enough to share their authentic selves with us or share the different pieces that contribute to how they respond to things, how they learn. We don't even think about it, but you know, English isn't the first language for most humans in the trucking industry, or at least a large amount. And even if, think about the different languages we speak in this country, mm-hmm. right? The people in the Northeast have a very Northeast kind of vibe, right? Which I love. And then you come to the South, very different vibe there too. So I think we can't ignore these little facets that kind of contribute to different aspects of our diversity. Mm-hmm. And then we need to take that as not things we should be scared of, because DEI is not about what you're doing wrong. DEI is about, are you trying? And are you putting an effort to kind of enhance and support all humans? And look, you're going to make mistakes as a human. That's part of being who we are, right? But it's acknowledging those, and it's asking the team, what can I do better? And that's not just about retention. That's about communication. That's about business operations. That's about tactical selling. Involve the humans that the change impacts, and ask them. I think the other thing that's really important when we think about retention, why are humans leaving? I know that, and it really falls into two buckets, bad manager or lack of growth. Now, I'm not saying there's not other reasons and other factors. Look, if somebody wins the lotto, good for you, man. I'm jealous. Like, I can't win the lotto. I don't play, but maybe someday I'll win. I'm working on it. Right. But I think that if we don't talk about why people are leaving and embrace things like when I hear a company saying, oh, yeah, well, we don't really do exit interviews. Part of me like dies a little bit inside because we have got to know, right? If somebody gets their dream job and it is not with me, I am pumped for them as a human if that is what is best for them. But if they leave and there's something that I could have fixed, every leader should understand the true cost of replacing that human, the impact to culture, the impact to the business. And on team morale. So obviously I have no passion about this topic at all. It doesn't matter to me at all.
That is why we wanted you, because we was like, you definitely are walking, talking, communication, effective leader here. Okay, so with saying that, now, okay, so let's just talk about this. Meryl gathers information for his client, ABC Trucking. Give me an example of something that happened last week that one of your retention reps gathered, Meryl.
Oh, a great example is had a situation with a dispatcher and they're back and forth and the driver's frustrated and the dispatcher just really had a lack of concern. And that conversation went back and forth for this particular company. And after it was brought to the company's attention, they went back and listened to the call, the traffic that was going on. And they're like, this person is not representing our company well and not taking care of our employees or the human part. And there's a flip side of that, too, is, you know, maybe that dispatcher or that employee is not doing their job properly. But then you have to kind of dive back a little bit and not point the finger sometimes and say, it's your fault. What's going on with that person? They're having a bad day. They're having family issues. They're having financial issues. And sometimes you have to pull them off of that and let somebody else sit in that spot and reset that dispatcher or fleet manager, whoever it is. But then also address the concerns of the driver and what their problems and concerns were. So it's understanding both aspects. And that's what the company decided to do, is dive in a little deeper. And at the end of the day, they had the decision to make, what are we going to do about this and correct this and make it good for everybody? And that's probably one of the biggest examples I saw last week, because there was a lot of traffic and conversation that was going on about this. And you just have to kind of step in and pause, as my wife used to do with the kids when they got to arguing with each other. She made them sit at the kitchen table and figure it out, and then they couldn't leave until they hugged it out. So kind of the same thing with the two employees that are at a crossroad, don't know how to get through it.
Because your wife is a good woman. First, your wife is a good woman. She can teach me a lot about being a parent. Let's start there. So this is going to be a twofold situation. Okay. First, let's kudo hello retention. Let me tell you why. And I'm not partial with this situation, but there are other retention companies that do not have it where the client, ABC Trucking, is able to listen in on that particular conversation for ABC Trucking to even be able to figure out what to do. Okay? Then I want to be able to kudo the ABC Trucking company, because they did dig in deeper and stand on the side of their driver. That doesn't always happen. That rarely happens. So let me say that. And the dispatcher typically is law there. But because that happened, if they did have an Eileen, and I think everybody should have an Eileen in their company, they do not. But that's just my personal opinion. I don't get paid the big bucks yet. That's coming, according to God. But, and I'm a Virgo, so, you know, I know things. Right, Meryl? You a Virgo
yeah.
too?
Yeah, I am. Sometimes I don't know things. I just get stumped. We talked about that this morning. I was at a crossroad. But
Meryl,
then you have to kind of
can't say that. Can't, we're Virgo.
You can't fix it. You just kind of have to leave it alone and it'll kind of come to you.
No, Meryl, we're Virgo. You're supposed to say we know everything.
Well, sometimes I get in trouble for knowing everything.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we do do that. We do do that. But with having an Eileen that is specialized in effective communication within diverse situations. Mm-hmm. And I do want to go back, gender gaps is diversity.
Yes.
Okay. So, or different communication for whatever reason, whether the person understands differently, different educational background, whatever mm-hmm. the reason why, okay? Now, with saying that, Eileen, in your expert field, because you are a PhD person, I don't know, I'm not a PhD, so I don't know what PhD persons are called. But three different scenarios with three different type of communication drivers, how would a person like you handle that situation with three different type of drivers? Meryl's company has brought it to your company being ABC Trucking, and you're the person that is supposed to be the fish finisher or the mm-hmm. Olivia Pope, right? How mm-hmm. would you figure that out?
Love the question. Love what Meryl said. But I'm going to kind of go back a bit before I talk about what I would do in this situation. The first thing I would say is, you know, we're really quick to kind of be reactive instead of proactive in this industry. And I think that it comes down to companies investing in development of their team. And I use that kind of very broadly. If we are not teaching every human who works at our company, regardless of if they are brand new or an industry vet, on a regular basis, to lead with empathy and compassion mm-hmm. and to kind of put them in front of understanding that, look, when a truck driver calls in, you might be the only person to be kind to them in a day. You might be the only human contact they have in a day. You might be the only opportunity they have to communicate with a fellow human who treats them respectfully in a day. And you bring it back to that core human element and you teach people why it's tough to be a driver. Because if we don't put ourselves into other people's shoes and we only know, okay, my job is to push this one button and that's all I'm going to do. And I don't really care what comes before or after me. That's why I'm such a proponent of cross training and sitting in different seats and getting in front of truck drivers and hearing what they go through. Right. So all of that should have already happened. Now, is it happening? Of course not. Because a lot of times in trucking, our industry is 24/7, 365 days a year. A lot of times we have this flaming pile of garbage that we have to turn into magic, right? And puppies and unicorns. And that's really difficult. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what should happen in an ideal world. Initial training to teach people about diversity education and kind of what other people go through. Even tell people, hey, have them do a ride along. If you haven't done a ride along and you're in this industry, I challenge you to get out there and get in a truck because it will open your eyes in a really profound way. So let's say that didn't happen. This situation where we might have three very different drivers, three very different communicators combined with three different probably dispatchers or humans who are answering the phone, right? So we have lots of human dynamic going on and differences in human upbringing and behaviors. And right. So I think there's such thing as dealing with these situations on the fly. If we have two irate humans, psychology and human behavior 101 tells us if somebody's really upset and angry, we should actually go the opposite and we should lower our voice and we should almost whisper. Because most of the time that single little behavior is enough to kind of de-escalate the situation. But if we puff up, when we start yelling and we get all animated and we, right, then all we're doing is further escalating it. So that's another kind of facet of training. When I say training, it's not just how to be a dispatcher or how to be a, you know, a human who answers phones. It's How do I resolve conflict? How do I, right? And not only that, what are the different learning styles, right? Which I know we're going to talk about later, but we have to understand, are we even teaching people the basics? Because we cannot assume that humans have knowledge, or that they were taught to lead with empathy, or that they understand what another profound. And I fell into that gap. I just assumed everyone had formal training when I joined the industry. And then I quickly learned, oh no, right? I will never be bored. And I think Meryl and Camille both said this, but the second any of us, regardless of how high we are in the totem pole or where we are, we think we know it all, we need to be walked out, because we are full of it. And we have delusional thoughts from Fantasy Island, because I have every single day, every single day. So what I would do in that situation is exactly what Meryl's company does. Pull calls, and I would encourage companies to pull calls before it gets to the point of conflict. Pull calls on a regular basis, embrace quality control, embrace teaching and learning and coaching, and use examples. Learning from a rockstar phone call where somebody is able to really quickly de-escalate a situation, play that in a group setting and talk to people. Pause the call at times, teach people to kind of coach and develop in the moment, and use that as kind of, this is our goal, this is what we're striving to be. Then you might have the middle situation where it went okay, but neither party feels great about it. And I would use that call in that situation to kind of teach, okay, what could we have done better? How could we have used more empathy? How could we have embraced something that is very unique to this human? Do we know what lanes they're running? Do we know how often they're on the road or how often they get home? And are we bringing that human element to both parties? And on the flip side, is that truck driver know that we're talking to a single parent who's living paycheck to paycheck, right? Because most of the time in life as humans, we don't get mad about the big stuff, but what is really safe to get pissed off about is your favorite pen breaking or traffic, right? Because we can be mad at those things and it doesn't force us to do the really nasty work of looking inward and kind of acknowledging our own kind of areas of opportunity. Situation number three is what I call the train wreck. The call that you are like, oh man, that one, right? But we can hide from those. We should still use that to teach, because guess what? There's still something to be learned in the everything that could have possibly went wrong. And I would pause that same call. Okay, we're going to play the next segment, and I want you to be listening for key cues. What were the words that people used? Teach people about inclusive language and the power of language, right? So I think you have different buckets there, and I think all of them add value. And in this industry, right, it's really easy to focus on the what we did well. Let's also focus on the middle, where it wasn't a train wreck, it wasn't a huge success, but we should still be learning from that. And then we definitely need to be looking at the where it went wrong and what can we do and how can we use it to prevent that call from happening again.
And I think that's where Hello Retention comes in, is right there in the middle. I mean, companies know the train wreck situations. That it happens, but we all know those, and a lot of times we promptly get rid of those. But in the good stuff, we know the good stuff. But it's the right there in the middle is where is what is needed. You know, that is the class that is what's needs to help. And that's the biggest part of any company that needs to help, whether it's sales, retention, it's even in the classroom, it's the ones right there in the middle. Because like as a teacher, right, all my teacher friends, they always say that they're taught to teach the ones in the middle.
I would argue, right, you know, I came from academia, that's where I worked before trucking. And I agree with you, because that's where most people are going to fall, in that middle So when you think about division of time and where should I invest my energy, but you know, people are really quick to not develop the people who are rock stars. And then they're real quick to give up on the people who are at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. And I challenge people, don't lose sight of that, because you know, the situation that you and Merle were talking through, both those humans were going through something.
Yeah.
And real quick to make a snap decision, and we don't dig into it like ABC Trucking did and say, okay, we're going to actually, because this is either outside of that human behavior that is typical of this employee, or we just haven't seen an outburst like that or reaction. And that's something that I think is really important, regardless of where you are, or where you are in the learning or teaching process. Do you have a pulse on your team? And by pulse, I mean, how's the team feeling? Do you have kind of, and you know, when we think about offices that are spread globally and terminals across the country, and right, every kind of sub terminal and office is going to have a subculture, and that's great. You don't want to stomp out those subcultures. Instead, you want to embrace them and figure out, how can I make sure that they feel connected to whatever our headquarter or our overall mission, vision, and values are, right? So I think that maintaining that pulse and that baseline of employees, and that is a direct function of our managers and leaders. And I think it's something, you know, Camille, you and I have talked about, Merle, I know I'm just new, but you know, we talk a lot about developing our teams and maintaining a pulse and ask them how they're doing and what holidays matter to them and things like that. If you know all that, you're already armed with everything you need in your toolkit to support the human, regardless of if it's a super fun development conversation or a, we got to talk about some things, development conversation.
And what do you have to say, Meryl? Because well, I know this is right there where you like to say stuff. This is good for you.
Well, you're talking about having that pulse, you know, even management, no matter how big or small the company is, sometimes they're so busy in their day in and day out activities, they don't really know what's going on the ground floor or out in the warehouse or on the road. And that's where we come into play, because we're talking to the drivers, we're seeing the interactions that's happening between the drivers and the dispatch and the fleets or the mechanic shop, because we're getting that feedback of what the drivers' challenges are throughout the day. And when you talk about pulse, even though a leader of an organization may not have that pulse, or maybe they do, but using a service like us, just through the communication of the driver, we were able to identify that, wait a minute, this certain particular division or fleet or terminal is having a lot of truck issues, because we're seeing a high number of drivers complaining about my truck's breaking down, or it's taking too long to get fixed, or whatever the case may be. So if the management doesn't recognize that right off, we recognize that pretty quickly, and we escalate that up to the management team saying, hey, this division, this fleet out of Atlanta, Georgia, or Tampa, Florida, is we're seeing an uptick on truck problems. Don't know what's going on there. And, you know, it could be a mechanic's out, maybe a mechanic is sick, or they're down two mechanics and they needed five. So now three mechanics are doing all the work. So maybe they need to bring somebody in from another location to get that facility up and running, so drivers aren't having that type of issue. So when you're looking at the pulse perspective, not just on the driver's side, the drivers tell us a lot. And if you listen to them, you'll realize real quickly, oh, we have a problem or an issue over here. And then, you know, back to the driver that had the issue and the dispatcher, you know, sometimes it's just simply a personality conflict. As Eileen said earlier, you know, Northerners do things differently than Southerners. You know, for example, up north, they call it a soda pop. Down south, we call it a Coca-Cola, and that's the way it is. And up north, they don't have sweet tea. Down south, we have sweet tea. So you have to know the demographics and the areas, and it doesn't take long to figure out that, you know, certain things happen in certain regions and certain things don't. But we're kind of that pulse checker, if you will, and in many different facets. And those are the data points and things we capture. And when we identify those, we say, something's really not normal here. Let's escalate this up, because they may or may not be aware of it, and they can jump on it quickly before it becomes a train wreck, as Eileen said.
I love it. And that's where the Hello Retention app comes in, and it's so important. That's where that human aspect and then the Hello Retention app that Meryl built, which is technology, comes in and helps the companies become more efficient. So that's great. So what I want to do is go to a quick commercial. We're going to make it a really quick one and then come back and we're going to go into best practices for the regular feedback and recognition. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Okay, so I do have to admit that some of me being like such a wonderful leader came from Eileen within the time that I met her, because you end up assuming that people want recognition like you want recognition. Right. And also you assume that people communicate the way you communicate, or you like when I'm super focused or I'm stressed, I don't want to talk. I don't want to hear your music. Don't talk to me. Don't breathe. Don't anything.
Okay? You sound like you could be my twin sister.
Yes.
That Virgo.
I don't like full detail. I tell everybody I hire people in order for them to deal with the full details, get to the point, get to it quickly. Okay. And I love sales. I love sales and marketing, but I am not the girl that you want to put the name on the board and I run down the lane and, oh, Camille, and what? That's not me. I'm not a cheerleader. I don't want any of that. You can put it on my check. And that's it. I won't tell the world everything I told Meryl, you know, on the way here. But Eileen let me know, like, everybody is not like that. And I said, I know, but I just thought that was stupid. Like, why aren't they like that? You know, I just didn't understand. What do you mean? And Eileen basically let me know you need to ask, how do people want to be recognized? Yes. And I had to sit back and look at my kids, my three children, even though they, a certain part of them are very similar to me, they like to be recognized all three differently. And it's only one, the one that I don't get along with the most, the youngest one, that likes to be recognized the way I do. He doesn't want a big fuss. If you want to give him some money, that's it. He doesn't need everybody. That's not a big deal for him, right? And so then I had to start looking at the staff. Everybody is different. And so even now, I had to say, you know, Ramen, it's not you, it's me, because it really is me. I'm assuming you think that I'm appreciating you because I'm not yelling at you and using words that are not in the Bible. So I thought you knew that I appreciated you. You know what I mean? And he's like, no. And I was like, okay, so it really is me. So Eileen is, you know, she has a point. You know, her degrees are really good. So I was like, okay, so we're going to start doing this. And I started at home with my children. That's the reason why I said your wife, June. is a really good woman. And then I started, you know, with my staff, because there are some that are more like me, like a Nimmer, right? A Darcella. But then there's some that are not. And I had to learn, and I'm still learning how to communicate with them. So with saying that, you have people, and I'm going to present this question to both of you all. And Eileen, what makes you a super fantastic expert in this for Meryl and I? And we were talking about you on the way with me driving to Dallas, because I'm not in Houston right now. So it's because not only are you an expert in the communication effective and all of that, but you're in our industry. Mm-hmm. And you speak our language, so you're one of us, right? You're not an outsider.
Yes. So
anybody outside of logistics and trucking is an outsider to us, right? In supply chain. I said that, not Meryl. So wanted to put that out there. So with saying that, you have truck drivers that might be local, regional, over the road, but either way, they're not in the office. How would you ask them? And then the same way, you still have to manage your staff inside. Mm-hmm. But Meryl also does retention for logistics companies where it's warehousing, right? So he has dock workers he deals with. He has the forklift, but then he has managers and things like that, and ones that have to travel. Mm-hmm. So how does one, I know you're good by helping me with parenting, but how would one help in that situation? Yes.
Okay. I'll start. So a couple things. The first thing that I encourage everybody, again, regardless of who you are or how you move through the world, I think we should not make assumptions about other humans. And I mean that as a blanket statement across the board about somebody's ethnic background, about somebody's preferred language, about somebody's preferred pronouns or who they're married to, or if they have faith or they do not, or what holidays they celebrate. So assumptions are really dangerous, not just from a diversity standpoint, but from a human connection and development standpoint. So not making assumptions, I think, is step number one. From the minute you onboard, hire, recruit an employee, one of the things that I think all leaders should do is then your initial one-on-ones or check-ins or whatever you call your regularly cadenced meetings with the members of your team. What is your preferred method of communication? Do you prefer text? Do you prefer email? Do you prefer verbal? Are you a phone human? Whatever that is into. What's your favorite way to be recognized? How do you feel about public praise? Right? Get to know people, because some people hate that. Like if you bring out the sombrero and sing a song on my birthday, I am going to want to die. Like that's just not my vibe. And in fact, instead of it making me feel good, I would be miserable, right? Like trying to hide and be invisible in this big hat or whatever birthday shenanigans are being played. And people have left jobs for less than that, right? So we want to do our best to kind of support and develop humans. And I think the other thing, when we're thinking about best practices for delivering feedback and recognition and things like that, you have to understand the four learning styles. And there's more than that. There's lots of learning theories out there. But do people see to learn? Do they hear to learn? Mm-hmm. Do they even write to learn? Are they kinesthetic, meaning they have to do it to learn? You're going to have all four. So how do you cater to everybody, right? And the same goes for managing hybrid teams, in-person teams, fully remote teams, teams in another country, drivers who are OTR, after-hours teams, kind of the whole gamut. So if we are recognizing or celebrating employees, are we making it accessible for all of the humans who work with us? And by accessible, I mean, are we hitting the after-hours team? or the weekend shift, or the people who are in a different time zone than us? Are we setting 8 a.m. meetings when it's 2 a.m. somewhere else? Or, you know, I have had the pleasure of working after hours. I've had the pleasure of working weekends, because that's what it takes to reach all of the diversity of humans present in the team. Because we staff 24/7, we have to deliver information the same way. I'm a big fan of town hall meetings or company meetings that bring together the team. You should always record those. You should also let people know in advance, not just drop a meeting on people, because if people see town hall meeting and you've never done it before, they're going to go to worst case scenario. We're all being let go. We got acquired. The world's on fire, whatever that is, right? But if you tell people, hey, we're going to start getting together as a team, and we're going to meet every Wednesday or every Friday or whatever your slowest business day, that's going to have less impact on the actual business we do. And you make it at a time that works for most. And if it doesn't work for everyone, then maybe you have a secondary or tertiary meeting where you have people who are communicating that same message to all of your team. And then it's always best practice to send an email, right? And the other thing, a lot of people think some people only care about come, or only care about time off, or only care about that number one sales trophy or number one dispatcher trophy, or right? Some people care about that. But some people would rather have you tell them one-on-one, you are a rock star. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for going above and beyond in this situation. And you have to ask people what they want. It's no different than forcing our culture on other people. So when companies give people paid holidays, but they employ a diverse team, why not give floating holidays? Hey, everybody gets X amount of holidays. Right. Or at least if you're floating. Right. Again, if, you know, depending on where geographically your headquarters is in the world, sometimes you're limited and, you know, different countries shut down at different times. We have to be mindful of that. But give people at least a couple of days where they get to choose. And what you'll actually find is that allows you to have coverage. Because the thing that a lot of people don't understand, if you surround yourself with people who move through the world in a similar fashion, who believe what you believe, who look the same as you, who speak the same as you, you are not going to make it in this industry, because it is diversity of thought and diversity of presence that challenges organizations to be better. And guess what that does? It helps us grow and be more profitable and retain people better. So it's not rocket science, but we have to sometimes take it down to the nuts and bolts and ask people. Weird concept, right? Ask employees what they want. Weird.
Absolutely, absolutely. Who were you about to say, Meryl?
You're hitting it right on the head, and that's what we're doing here is communication, understanding a person, understanding what makes them tick, what their vulnerabilities are, what upsets them. You know, some of the drivers that we speak to, we're calling them once a week, and they're like, hey, we pick up the phone, hey, just checking on you, I'm good, I'll holler, and literally they'll tell you, I'll call you if I need you, I'm moving on. And then you'll get the drivers that are that when you call them, they want to have a 30-minute conversation with you about everything that's going on in their life. And that's okay, because that's what we're here for, because we'll find out and we understand that, hey, this guy's got this going on, he has three kids, he can't wait to get home to his wife this weekend, his son's got a game. You get to understand that person. There's nothing wrong with the person that picks up the phone and says, hey, I'm good, I'll call you if I need you. They just tick different and they're motivated by different things. And then the guy that and gal that wants to have that longer conversation, that's okay too. They're built a different way, and it comes down to recognition and appreciation. You know, just listening to that driver that wants to talk for 30 minutes, let them talk. They're lonely out there to some degree. And all they have is the telephone to communicate with everybody else, because they're going down the interstate at 65, 70 miles an hour. And they're probably getting mad at every car that cuts them off, because they got to keep that safe distance, and they got all these bells and whistles in the truck annoying them. So that communication, you can use all the tools in the world, but that communication is key. And then when you understand people and they know you understand them, they appreciate that you took the time out, whether it's the 2-second call for the check-in or it's the 30-minute call and conversation just to check in.
I like what you said about that driver just ticks a different way. Like everybody's communication style is different. They're not trying to be rude. They just are different. But what they did let you know is they're fine. And if they need you, they'll call you. And that's what the company hired you for. Literally, you're that bridge, that liaison for the company. Right there.
And not only that, Camille, like, right, we should take that same kind of logic mm-hmm. and apply it to everything. You know, people get hung up bent out of shape. Oh, I have to do this check call. And I'm like, in your first conversation with a driver who's moving a shipment in logistics, your conversation should be, hey, when are you going to do your reset? When is the best time for me to contact you? Mm-hmm. That instantly, that's called reframing. And what that does is it lets the driver know that you give a crap, right? And that you are gonna make this about them.
And then the whole nugget right there. So someone's telling me you do this for a living. Somebody pays you the big bucks to do this.
I don't know about the big bucks part, but but I definitely think that, you know, my mantra, and Camille knows this about me, is to just be a good human.
Yeah.
And can you imagine the world that we would live in if everybody woke up in the morning and was like, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. I may have a miss and I may turn into Godzilla, and right, but then I'm going to apologize for being Godzilla and the people that I've Godzilla'd, right? And I'm going to try to be a better human the next day, right? We're going to mess up, but just try. Make it about people. And you'll find your retention rates go through the roof, right? That's it.
That's it. Yeah, I agree with that, because we are in the people business. But you know what? Meryl and I are so happy that, you know, you were able to take the time and come on here. But before you leave, and Meryl and I are going to be able to recap right when you jump off. But before you leave, Eileen, what last thing, you know, three things do you want to leave us with in logistics and trucking that we can do to effectively communicate with our folk, whether they're truck drivers or in the office or whatever they are, the three top things?
I would say never lose sight of kind of the status, morale, feeling, perspective of your team. Make yourself available regardless of how big your company is. Embrace OCM. So for those of you that are not familiar with that concept, organizational change management. If you manage change well and you involve the humans that the change impacts in that process, people are going to be less kind of combative when it comes to change, and they're going to feel like they're part of the process. And I think that's something that this industry drastically needs to do, is be aware that change is not bad, but we need to involve people so that they kind of know that. And then the other thing that I would say as a reminder, get in front of the team, show up for the philanthropy, show up for the wellness event. Now, a CEO or a founder or an executive might not be able to be at everything, but your presence at the stuff that your team has decided matters mm-hmm. will go so much further than a, hey, thanks for doing this philanthropy email, or writing a check, or right, things like that matter. Nonprofits need support and need, but people want to see that their leadership is showing up for what's important to them. That's all. I mean, I have lots more, but you know.
I'll tell you what, I'm excited that you came on today. Kind of forgot about some of these things that you had brought up, and you know, coming from my background in the Army for 24 years and having all that military discipline and organizational management, you kind of shed some light on some things that I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch and kind of take some more notes. I mean, Camille alluded that us Virgos think we know it all, and we think we do, but we really don't. And it's always great to get a different perspective from somebody else. And you definitely gave me some insights, perspective, and things to relook at, not just for me as a person, but me as a leader and organization. So thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on, and we really appreciate you, Eileen.
Thank you. And thank you for talking about things that matter, like retention and humans and employees. So I appreciate you both. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And we're going to go to a quick commercial and be right back.
Struggling to find the perfect CDL or truck drivers for your fleet? Your search ends here. At ATG Recruiting, we specialize in connecting trucking companies with top CDL drivers. Visit atgrecruiting.com and discover our comprehensive recruiting services. Whether you need a steady stream of CDL driver applications or pre-screened, qualified drivers that meet your specific criteria, we have you covered. Save time and ensure quality by working with experts who understand your needs. Our tailored solutions ensure you get the right drivers in your trucks, keeping your fleet on the move. Visit atgrecruiting.com today or email us at info@acrecruiting.com. ATG Recruiting, your partner in driving success.
Well, welcome back. Terrell, look at the screen. Look, Meryl, you're somewhere.
There I am.
I looked up and I was like, oh, what's going on here? We enjoy Eileen being on here. That was amazing, amazing.
For sure.
Yeah, she really brought what Hell of Attention stands for and just kind of just brought it all together for us. But what do you have to say in the lasting comments and everything? What are your last takeaways or come to that?
I think a lot of the takeaways is, you know, when Eileen talked about, you know, understanding an employee, you know, everybody's got different personalities, mm-hmm. kind of coming down to that person's level and understanding them is communication. We can send out emails, town halls. Those are all great forms of communication that bring everybody as a group. But sometimes you have to individualize somebody and sit with them one-on-one and have that conversation with them one-on-one. And that helps you understand who they are and what they're about. And, you know, like the same, what we do from Mesilla Valley, we're having those conversations one-on-one every single week with these drivers, and we're finding out what makes them tick, what's going great for them, what's not going so great. And we identify that, and we escalate issues up that may be of concern for that driver, and that driver's getting that communication feedback from their fleet manager or their supervisor, whoever it is. Talking doesn't hurt anybody. Talking actually is better. As you alluded to earlier, you know, when you get upset or frustrated, you just want to be left alone, don't want to turn on the radio. I'm the same way. And you have to talk those things out. Otherwise, you let them build up. And then, as Eileen said, it becomes a train wreck. And when two people are train wrecking, there's not much you can do except get in the middle of it. And hopefully you just don't destroy everything that's been built and kind of fix it as you go. That's my takeaway from today. Hell of Retention does a lot of that kind of stuff, identifies situations, problems, listens to the driver, make them feel appreciated. It might not be in a monetary or day off type situation, but they're being heard. And we listen to them and they understand that we're there for them and we got their back, as well as the company understands that we have their employees back as well. And we're looking out after not only the driver, but also from the company perspective and making sure everybody has a holistic approach and a good culture all the way around.
Well, my takeaway was that Hell of Retention brings the data. So the company that hired you, right, can make those decisions.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. You bring the human aspect to the driver, but then you bring the technology to the company. Because me being one, I don't cut to the chase. Don't tell me about every single this, and this. I want to know these categories, so I can sit and make an educated decision for my drivers or for my staff. You know, if I was a trucking company, and I'm saying trucking.
Well, a quick example of that is when you're talking to 500, 600 or 1,000 drivers, and mm-hmm. they're all saying it's a truck issue. Okay, let's identify what truck issue, and is it a common thread, and is it a common location, and then. Now you have the data that supports that. Now the leadership can make adjustments and make change. And then the secondary piece of that is, you know, when we're doing surveys or having those conversations, you know, if you're only talking to 10% of your workforce, you're not getting enough feedback. But when you're getting 80-90% of that feedback from your workforce, you know that any kind of change you make, whether it's small or large, is representing and making it better for the entire workforce.
And that's what's good about Hello Attention. You take the human aspect because your human aspect is able to get the large percentages, and then you bring it over to a company in the data form and technology. So then we, or the trucking company or logistics company, can actually make decisions based on that.
Because absolutely,
they make decisions based on the data. So that is what's good. And that's how technology and human aspect work together and make it efficient.
Exactly. Absolutely. So,
yeah, it's really appreciated, and all of that good stuff. So I'm very grateful for this episode. So I want everybody to tune in definitely next time. And I hope your week is great so far and going to get better as the week progresses. We have one last commercial for you, and then we're going to be signing off, guys. Have a blessed week.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody.
Hello, Retention. We know that the key to a strong workforce is understanding each individual's needs. Our personalized workforce support keeps your team engaged and committed through meaningful one-on-one connections. We provide targeted strategies based on direct communication to reduce turnover and strengthen your workforce. Hello, Retention, your partner in workforce excellence. What will your workforce look like in 12 months? Visit HelloRetention.com or call 888-400-1722 to start building a stronger team today.